is the podcast. Oh. I don't even know why we're bothering.
Welcome to another episode of the Tantric Anticlimax. That is the Talking Puffy Podcast.
Yes. Fabulous. And Richard Outrageous Scott Brennan. Oh. And the always punctual Toby Sullivan.
Not guilty.
There's more after this.
Why do you think Charlie Sheen calls those girls goddesses? Aren't goddesses not supposed to have DD?
Talk puffy to me.
Now, we got a message on the Facebook page.
The Facebook.
From a young gentleman of 40-something.
Right.
Who...
Which Facebook are we meant to use? There's two.
Well, whichever one you feel like.
Okay.
Don't limit yourself, man. I just want to check.
Okay,
we're all open here.
I didn't want to fuck it up.
Okay.
Someone left us a message.
Someone left us a message basically asking why no one wants to have sex with people over 40. And I thought that was a pertinent thing, given that by the time this goes out into the ether, Scott, you will be indeed.
I will have crossed the train threshold, and I'm turning 40 this week.
Welcome.
I'm 41, so I'm fucking all over that shit, mate.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, you know,
I think a certain type of person doesn't want to have sex with someone over 40.
Yes.
And I don't think 19-year-olds want to have sex with people over 40.
I was having I was having a conversation last night. I was having sex last night alone into a kebab.
Yeah.
I had a conversation last night with an entertainer of some note.
Right.
Who is, I think, 32. Of all years. And he was bemoaning the fact that, you know, the kinds of guys that he's into aren't really into him. And I was like, well, that's because the kind of guys you're into are into those kind of guys, not you.
Yeah, right. Mm.
Like,
yes.
You need to stop.
He was talking about younger guys.
Yeah. 19, 20-year-old.
But that is not entirely true either. As a generalisation, it's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
That like likes like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Apples like apples, you know, generally. It's not a universal thing.
No.
But it is a fact of life that if you are into younger guys as you get older, it's less likely.
And
absolutely. I do find, like, you know, both these people were saying, you know, oh, it's, you know, gays, they're just so shallow. They just won't look past, you know, the fact that I'm 32 or I'm 41 or whatever. And it's like, well, obviously you're into really shallow guys.
Yeah. Yes.
But also it's not just that. Saying that it's shallow, that's not true.
Yeah.
Because it's not just about looks. What are you going to do? Sit down and talk about them, about the bitching new Miley Cyrus album?
Yeah. What can you possibly, like, you know?
Who wants to go on a date to Time Zone?
Yeah. Exactly.
Not fun.
Exactly.
The catering's terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
Do you know what my idea of a bitching night out is? Mm-hmm. Is picking up my date from his parents' place.
Oh. Yeah. And getting him back in time for school.
Yeah. And then having him tell everyone on Facebook that he rooted you and having them all mock him about it. And then him calling you the next day to go, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that again.
It's not just about shallow stuff. It's just not compatible.
It's about what you can, you know, because you enter into relationships to kind of give and receive things. You know, you get something from someone else. You get, you know, whatever that is, whether it's intellectual stimulation or sexual, whatever. And, yeah, if you're going for kind of guys 20 years younger than you, then that intellectual stimulation is definitely going to be a little lower than...
In general, because they're smart 20-year-olds as well. We all know smart 20-year-olds.
But there is a lot to be said for kind of life experience and...
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be going out with someone that is going through the same things that I went through at 20.
But, on the other hand, like, I have a friend who has had a little bit of work done. And then started dating, you know, like, he started dating, like, 22-year-olds, and he's our age.
Right. Mm.
And I was like, oh, my God, you are so obsessed with that age that you are trying to make yourself look like it. He looks like a Burns victim.
Right.
As opposed to a 22-year-old, which is tragic. But, like, I just go, what is the weird obsession with being, like, having sex with or being 22? Like, I don't remember it being the most spectacular time of my life.
No.
To be honest.
No, but you're pretty. You're pretty when you're 22. And gay culture is very big on pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
But also,
on the same hand, like, you know, we're talking to Dean Beck, there are certain aspects of gay culture that are remarkably more accepting and diverse.
Mm. Yes.
Of different ages and looks and lifestyles.
Well, it's like... there are just certain, and that can be sort of delineated by certain bars, even here in Melbourne. There are certain bars that you go to that you know you're going to be mocked if you're over 30.
Yeah.
And then there are other bars where kind of anything goes. And it
you're
going to
be
matter,
mocked,
you know,
if you're under 30.
Yeah, yes.
But I think reading between the lines, what I think the people that you're talking about are maybe saying is, how come no twinks want to fuck me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can find a twink that'll want to fuck you if you look hard enough.
Yeah.
But just because they don't. They just don't.
Yeah.
Well, I got
a letter.
Do you
know what I mean? How come fish don't dance and cook me dinner? Because they just don't. It's just not what they do.
I got a letter. I'm going to read you a part of a letter that I got from someone who emailed me, my Adam Richard. .com mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So not through the podcast. Had never heard the podcast before, so I sent him a link and said, can we read out your letter? Here's, and he said, I don't want to stop down any of your crazy insanity with my, you know, tragic letter, but feel free. He said, I'm 32 in July. I've never been with anyone in an intimate manner, let alone kissed another person. I'm not your typical gay-looking guy, hot, muscular, oozing sex appeal. I'm chubby, 180 kilos, and I'm sick and tired of being judged from the outside and not what's on the inside. I've tried the club scene in Brisbane.
I can only fucking imagine. Jesus Christ.
But I always seem to get stared at by people and, you know, people saying, are you serious? He can't be gay. And not to mention people have said that to me in the past. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
In, you know, what is the one thing that every poofter tries to put on their Grindr profile?
Straight acting.
Straight acting.
Straight acting. Straight acting.
So right there, he's got a big tick in the column.
Oh. Absolutely.
Are you serious? Yeah. He's gay?
Yeah.
Who is surprised? Who is surprised that anyone can't find love on the Brisbane at the fucking beat?
Yeah, right. He's from country Queensland,
which is a urinal with a bitching sound system. Yeah. Like, who is surprised that you can't find out? Who is surprised you can't find out the Wickham, right? The inspiration for Grundy. Who, you know, like, of course you can't. Course you can't. It's, you know what? It's tricky. It's really tricky. No one deserves love.
No
one has a right to that.
Mm.
You can't demand that.
No.
Yes.
Sometimes it just ain't going to work.
Yeah.
You know? You can want it, obviously. And if you want it and it's not coming to you easily, I don't know. You just have to keep switching it up. Do you know what I mean?
You
can't go to the beat and go, I'm fat and no one at the beat liked me. Of course no one did.
But he didn't know. Like, I sent him off to a bear website and I said, look, make an internet dating profile. Like, you've got to treat...
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to treat falling in love like looking for a job.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
It's like realestate.com.au or seek.com.au. You've got to, you know, Gator is the same thing. It's like you've got to put yourself out there and go, look... You know, if someone's going to call you fat and be mean, that's one thing. But then if someone's going to say, oh, my God, you are one huge hunk of sexy man.
Yeah.
Then that is the most amazing feeling in the world. When you go, when you're looking at yourself in the mirror going, oh, my God, I'm really fat and I just feel really unattractive.
You ooze that when you go out.
Yeah.
Like that attitude, that kind of, oh, I feel really... Oh.
It's true, isn't it?
You
it's really
just
true.
Ooze it.
I completely was freaking out all... Because I was hanging out with, like, Valvo and Jaspers and all those little...
All those children.
Children at the Mardi Gras. And I just bought these jeans.
Oh, my God, you must have looked like a fairy tale.
I bought these new jeans. And I kept spending the whole night. They'd be, like, in the middle of talking about something. I'd go, can we just stop talking about this now so everyone can check out how hot my ass looks in these jeans? And I kept doing that all night. And it was like, and my ass does look really good in these jeans.
It's so true. It's so true. Because, you know, when you go to one of those clubs and there's some, you know, Muscle Mary in the corner, the first thing I think is, I hate you.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in anything you've got to say.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
It's so much about confidence and attitude and all that sort of stuff. But also don't, you know, if that's, it's called a scene for a reason.
Yeah.
And if you're not part of that scene, you don't go to the butcher and go, there's no licorice all sorts here. You know, just...
Wow, great analogy. Yeah, great analogy.
I got him. I got a lot
of them. He's in Brisbane. He should be going to Sporties.
Correct.
Because that's, you know, that's where fat people go and ordinary looking people go and people who wear flannelette shirts and people who want to eat a mixed grill.
But also,
before
watching a drag show. He's in Brisbane. There's a really active scene there. There's a queer film festival there. I'll guarantee you they play so much fucking sport in Brisbane. There'll be some, even like a fat sport, there'll be some queer, like walking around a box club or something. Like there is a lot to do. Or do you know what? Don't even do something queer. Just go and do things. And I mean, Brisbane's a pretty gay town. There'll be lots of people there.
But I can kind of understand this guy's attitude. Sometimes out on the gay scene, you kind of can't see the wood for the trees in a way. And it's very easy to go out to a lot of gay venues and go, oh, well, it's all about looking hot. It's all about looking
muscly. It's all about
muscly.
Having abs.
It's all about having, this. Yeah. Da, da, da. And that on the surface, that's kind of how it appears.
Yeah.
But in any scene, if you kind of look a bit deeper, there's a lot more to it. But if you're fixated on that kind of thing, it's very easy to just see that.
It's very hard to get validation if you don't fit the standard mold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd be going out looking for, you know, rather than maybe looking for love or looking for someone to give me validation, just looking for a conversation.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
And that is one thing that, like, both our friend who's in his 40s and our friend who's 180 kilos needs to understand is that, you know, the guy with the abs and the pecs, I know Yumi said it on the Circle, but when you see someone that is that ripped, even if they're a Victoria Cross medalist winning, you know.
There is a perception.
You've spent a little more time in the gym than in, say, a library.
Yeah, that is basically what you think when you see that kind of
Adam,
person.
Adam, stop it. People are going to advertise it just so they can pull it.
But no, it's like...
Also, I also understand this dude's frustration.
Yeah.
Never been kissed, 32.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I want a dick up me. I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care who it's attached to. Andrew Bolt, let's do it. Let's fucking go. I will if you will. I don't care.
But I think, you know, he's probably really scared. Like, you know, like once you get to 32, then it's
a big deal.
You've built up so much expectation on it. You know what he needed to do was come to Mardi Gras and get his photo taken with me because I fucking patched everyone.
Yeah, there you go.
But you know what? In short, it's not the scene's fault.
No.
Don't blame it on the scene.
It's never the scene's fault.
Yep. Never the scene's fault.
Get yourself out there.
Yeah, you've got to, you know. And I'm telling you from personal experience, there are people who are really into hot, fat, hairy guys.
I'll tell you something else. I know someone who we all know who was like an aging twink, 45-year-old whatever.
Right here.
Yes. And he went through a phase and he was going out with like, this is how long ago it was. I think they were a 22-year-old steward on Ansett.
Oh,
right. And it was the twink that wanted to get serious. Right. And he was like, this has got too weird too fast.
Oh, really?
I was trying to extricate himself.
Talk profit to me.
I was going to write that name down and go, is that who we're talking about?
Was it Lamar?
No. Yes, it was Lamar. It was Lamar of Bendigo Street. And so the stereotypes aren't always true.
No.
No.
Well, a couple of years ago, I dated a 21-year-old for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, and he was way too serious too soon as well.
Yeah, he wanted it full on, and I went.
He wanted
you
to not have sex with anyone else.
Yeah,
and that was a deal breaker.
No, you can't stop the tide from turning.
No, exactly.
Gravity exists.
You might as well make the Earth go around the moon.
Yeah.
Oh, Lorna.
Oh, lovely. But I knew that, you know, I was dating at 21. We were kind of dating, hanging out.
Oh,
I was 21.
You
I knew.
Were embarrassing yourself in eight
I was
different
embarrassing
kinds of
myself.
Ways.
But I knew it had that it only had a few weeks in it.
Did you have anything to talk about?
He was really intelligent.
He actually was very intelligent.
He made
Scott
look stupid.
Yeah. That's not hard, though.
You know, the other thing is, though.
I was on level 2 of the game.
You know, the other thing with young guys. That, you know, you kind of think, oh, they're all stupid. And that, like, that's, you know, the retail ones with pecs and stuff.
Yeah.
But often people in their 20s are at uni and so are constantly engaging in quite intellectual discussion as part of their everyday life.
Do you know what I think? Sometimes it is actually it's in the reverse. I'm finding that as I get older, I give less of a shit about everything.
Yes.
And you talk to a 25-year-old and they're all like, fucking yeah, come on, Coney, equal love. Yeah, let's change. And you're like, love,
really?
You have not lived enough to be lackadaisical about everything.
Yeah.
You know. So it's not even just smart. It's just about where you are in life.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like we're all at this age just going, oh, just just go and put someone's cock in your mouth. Stop whinging about it.
Just get a dick up you and buy me a drink. Now I'm happy.
Okay, hold up.
Now I'm happy. Quit with the changing the world stuff.
Yes.
So, thanks for writing in, everyone.
Have we answered anything, I wonder?
Well, I don't know. You're turning 40. How do you feel? Do you feel better about everything now?
I do, actually.
Yeah, good.
I don't really feel that bad about it.
It's a weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like I should have some kind of crazy epiphany where my life is going to fall apart. And
I've been looking forward to it for ages.
Right.
I've been looking forward to it since 37.
I've found that, this week, because it's happening in a few days, and just this week I've started to kind of reflect on my 40 years. You know, when you reach these milestones, you kind of
look
back.
You should not reflect on your life. That is
That's too much.
That's a scary hall of anal mirrors.
Exactly. if I had Net Nanny on my memories, I'd have nothing. There'd be nothing there, okay? But no, I actually feel kind of quite good about where I am.
If you only reflected on things you didn't regret, you'd be done in a minute.
Yeah, exactly. And they would be I had that McMuffin once, and that's about it. So I'm 40, and all I can remember is eating a McMuffin. It's the only thing I haven't regretted.
I have no elasticity in my sphincter, but
I'm feeling pretty good. I love turning 30, so I don't see why turning 40 would be.
We lead particular lives, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think because we're relatively uncommitted. Like, do you know what I mean? We don't have kids.
Yeah.
We don't have mortgages.
You got a mortgage.
But do you know what I mean? We don't live like most people live. Yeah. Maybe I'm generalising. Maybe I'm out myself a bit. But we don't have those same...
No, we don't, yeah.
I know, look, for me, I'm living more or less the same lifestyle that I did when I was 25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
We get really hammered and...
Binge drinking.
Yeah.
Binge drinking, pashing off with people half our age.
Bad decisions done quickly in a row.
Yeah.
That's pretty much...
Yep.
Pretty much it. So it's kind of hard to feel older when you're doing the same...
Yeah.
Like, it's harder to do it.
Yeah.
Just physically, but... A lot of people, a lot's changed, there's no milestones.
It is milestones, but a lot of straight people my age would be going, my kids are in high school now and this is da-da-da-da-da. There's all these other kind of things going on in their life, whereas I'm just,
thing, we're all kind of, career-wise, we're all doing stuff that we enjoy.
Yes.
Like, we're not struggling in some job that we hate to pay the bills, and all we look forward to is getting some kid to suck us off on the weekend.
But let's not discount that, though.
But that's,
let's not throw the penis out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
No, but, that's not like the one highlight of our week is
making
out.
We actually have several highlights of the week. What we do is kind of a highlight.
Yeah. Having sex is like a byproduct of being drunk.
It's like air pollution.
Yeah.
It's just around.
But, a lot of people, Nath Velvo, I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with Nath Velvo where his eyes aren't darting around the room or onto his phone to look at who's messaged him on Grindr.
That has never happened.
No.
That has never not happened.
But, I just feel that's all that goes through his head. That's all that's happening.
It's just sick.
Where's the
next
cock?
Yeah.
I mean, make hay while the sun shines. He's going to be one fat cunt one day.
I was going to say, he would be well advised to pack it in. Back that shit up before you see around eating McMuffins. All of them. Don't get me started on the young guys. Don't get me started on the young comedy guys. You know what? I reckon they laugh at us behind our backs.
They probably do.
But at the same, I can remember being a young gay and feeling sorry for the older gays.
I know!
I'm so young and pretty. And now I'm an older gay. I just feel sorry for them.
You poor bitches.
Yeah.
You think that everything in the world is being 23 and...
Yes.
And you think you've invented everything.
Oh, yes. I know.
Had the first idea.
Oh my god! And suddenly we've just become fucking Statler and Waldorf and the Muppets. Just more and more good. Fucking old cunts.
It's true. It happens. That's what I mean. Statler and Waldorf were right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were right.
That was a shit show. It was funny though.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, young guys, pay attention to me. I am your fucking future.
Yeah.
I know. Well, every time Joel Creasy books me for a gig, I always say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Joel Creasy from the future. Things have not gone well. Oh, dear. Right.
Well, yeah, happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, Scott. Mm-hmm. You sad old fat man. Oh, God, his toad's old.
I know.
Blow out the candles on your cake with your ass.
It's not a fire.
It's more my hair! My hair!
It'd be more suction. It'd blow them out with inrushing air.
Implode the candles.
Oh, did you want those candles back?
Mm. Oh, ow, ow,
ow.
Cece feels things deeply. Cece is a deeply feeling person.
Talk poofy to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, neither of which I've encountered for about 25 years now, it is with no small sense of pride and a persistent allergenic swelling of the anus that I hereby launch the Wrong'un's national chain of gay bars and gluten-free douching kit retailers. Brand new ethical advertising policy.
Ooh.
Now, you three dick-crazy body cavity spelunkers should consider this. Your first and final fucking warning. Brunty McFuckering does not support any public broadcast that is found to be disrespectful, offensive, or that fails to meet community standards.
Oh.
I've said it to Kyle. I've said it to Umi, if that's her real name, which of course it's fucking not, because when they're handing out real names at the hospital, who fights their way to the front of the line to pick out fucking Umi?
It's a Japanese
yeah,
name.
Yeah, it's Japanese.
Right. Right, that is one right there. That's what I'm fucking talking about. You're a fucking racist. I am pulling my ads. This is exactly... You have just lost some sweet accounts, you bigots. Wrong'un's gay bars, gone. Alpine Brown deodorising suppositories, gone.
Alpine Brown. I forgot we advertised them.
Ponzi and Ponzi mobile financial advisors and while you wait nail design, gone! All gone, radio clan! Tell your fucking head of sales, or should I say Grand Imperial Wizard, he should have thought twice before asking Grunty McFuckering, gaytrepreneur and potential Nobel Prize winner, not too soon, I don't think, to condone this kind of prejudice. Stop, this is serious, right? Calling some sperm-thirsty dizzy bint the J-word.
The J-word!
Clearly does not meet community standards, and I am pulling all my money out of this station. Oh, and that is that. That is the end of the discussion.
So
You know, for card-carrying Nazis, you boys are all right one-on-one, but... I've got to say, sometimes I even fucking dazzle myself with the even with the retinal scarring from the home laser eye surgery kit. I mean, some cunts do what with their day? Post a letter, look at a sky. What did you do today, Grunty? Oh, nothing. Only ended racism and did my bass. Yep. You know what? I have saved myself a bit of coin pulling all my ads from this show. I reckon I can afford to buy a run of ads congratulating me on my moral stand. I mean, there's no point defending your fucking brand value if you don't tell no one you've done it, eh? Hey, you cubicle monkeys can put me down for sponsorship of the podcast for the next 7 weeks, running constant sponsorship messages about how I refuse to advertise on this station anymore on principle. Oh, fuck, I gotta go. Pedro's taking me out to some Haitian joint for dinner. I said, all right, as long as we can order prawns. You know what they say about the meat in Haitian restaurants, eh, fellas? You can't fake a prawn, that's all I'm saying. All right, konzichi bra, as they say in Hong Kong.
Thank you, Grunty.
Thanks, Grunty.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Have a conversation about Fassbender, irony, or Provenza Schowler.
Talk poofy to me.
Right, it's time for us to get edumacated.
Oh, it's so grown
up. In our ear holes from... Mother Horan and her poof story.
Hello.
Welcome back, Mother.
Thank you. Am I going to get theme music yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
We can't afford the rights to music.
No. You might get a ba 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 da ba. You might get something like that.
Where's this writing all our music? So, of course, we don't have any.
No.
What are you going to school us with today?
Well, first of all, a question. Who was Australia's first gay movie star?
Hugh Jackman.
No.
Graham Kennedy.
I'm going to have a genuine crack at this. Yep. Errol Flynn.
No. But
he
close.
He was a pants man, though, wasn't he?
But
like, he got around.
He was a bit of everything man,
yeah,
I think.
An omnivore. The answer, I've only just learned out because this is only really just coming to light just recently, is a guy called George Berenger.
George Berenger.
Who in Hollywood was known as André de Berenger.
Ooh.
Yes. Now, 1920s, he was...
So was silent?
Yes.
Right.
He didn't make the transition.
It's because he talked like this.
Come up to my room. I'll show you me etchings.
So he was very successful in his time. His biggest film was So This Is Paris. Now, he always played the romantic guy, and he was quite a big, you know, silent movie star. He also did a bit of assistant directing. He assistant directed on Birth of a Nation, which is probably the greatest ever.
Yes.
Silent film of all time.
Seminal.
But basically, he didn't make the transition because of his voice or something.
Mm.
Started a bit of a downward spiral. So from the 1920s, he tried to up his career and he entered into a lavender marriage.
Oh.
And do we know what a lavender marriage is?
I was just going to say, one has to assume that he was in the closet.
Yes.
Yeah. He was not openly gay.
No one was openly gay in the 20s. Wasn't it illegal?
Possibly. Yeah,
you could be very gay, but not openly gay.
Yes.
So basically, the big studios would make you have a lavender marriage, which was you married a starlet, a lady, and you pretended you were a couple. And this was a really
Was the lady a lesbian? Was that kind of the thing that they would match up the...
Records are inconclusive.
Right.
Well, it'd be a shame to waste a real woman.
Yes. Anyway.
A real woman.
So he...
What is Hugh Jackman?
But this was very common. This is very common. So if you were in Hollywood right now, who would you... And, you know, it's not a big leap to think that you guys would be massive stars.
Yes.
Who would you marry? Who would you marry? Who would be?
What's her name? I always forget her name from Titanic.
Kate Winslet.
I would marry Winslet.
You can't marry her. She'd dob.
Oh,
she would tell
true.
Everyone. She'd be like, I get nothing at home. This girl's a fucking softer all the time.
Her or Drew Barrymore.
Right.
She would dob as well.
I don't care.
You don't. You can't marry a dibber dobber. You need like a Scarlett Johansson who you know wouldn't actually like, know that you're gay.
It'd be like marrying an ironing board, though.
No, but I think
you're
an
not
ironing...
meant to have sex with them. It's a pretendy marriage.
Yeah. That's the thing. An ironing board is, I reckon, Parker Posey for me.
Oh,
basically,
yes.
An ironing board. I wouldn't know what to do with buzzies.
No. So
if we were out, one popped out, what do I do?
Yeah. Parker Posey is good.
Yeah.
Mm. Who would I marry? Probably Debbie Reynolds.
Because
I could be Carrie Fisher's dad.
No one would pick that. Yeah.
No one would pick you as gay.
No.
But,
what about Liza Minnelli? No one would pick that.
I'd marry her. I would pick, she's not a Hollywood star, but I would pick Deborah Hutton.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think we would get on really well and we might just make a fist of this thing.
Right.
I would be like, come on, Debs, we're here now. Let's go and terrify some twinks.
Okay. Okay, Toby, let's go. But anyway, lavender marriages were very common. Rock Hudson was in one.
Well, to this day, there are lavender marriages now.
But the most interesting thing is lavender marriage became into the public realm because of the Haynes case. Now, Haynes,
the Haynes Code.
Yeah. Haynes is a really interesting guy that because he's the name of the code of conduct and all these things, but we often overlook who this guy was. He was an American movie star, and in 1933 he was caught going into the YWCA and having a bit of fun with a sailor.
Oh,
So anyway, the studios cracked it and said, right, okay, you, we're going to put you into a lavender marriage.
No more fucking sailors.
Yes.
New rules.
Bad. Bad actor. But the bad actor.
But the thing about Haynes, Haynes said no. He said
he refused.
He said, fuck you, I'm going to go. I'm actually in a relationship with a guy and we're going to have a lovely life. Now, the great thing about this story is this was 1933. Him and his boyfriend, who was, I can't remember what his
Troy.
Name was.
Troy.
Troy, he works on Virgin.
Yes.
I'm sure they hadn't invented planes yet.
Troy from Paramount.
Jimmy. He was in a relationship. He was in a relationship with Jimmy for almost 50 years.
Wow.
And they got kicked out. They got kicked out and basically became the most important power couple in interior decorating in Beverly Hills. Who'd have thought?
Who'd have thought?
What a surprise.
But Joan Crawford, who probably liked gay men, I don't know.
No.
Called Jimmy and William the happiest married couple in Hollywood. And very sadly, and this is actually kind of romantic, is when Haynes died, Jimmy was so sad that he, after the funeral, he went home, put on William's pajamas, climbed into their bed and took a fistful of pills. But they had this incredibly happy life, and that's where
it's a happy story.
So the guy, ironically, who gave us, popularized the word lavender marriage, is actually... had a happy, lovely life.
Wow.
Good on him.
There you go.
Good on him. See, now, the moral of the story is, kids, if you're listening, if you find yourself in a steam room fucking a sailor...
look around for new ideas, photographers.
It could get happy.
Yeah.
Can end happily.
Can end well.
The last thing is they did eventually end up giving William Haynes a star on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, so the Walk of Fame.
So if you're there, it's at 7012 Hollywood Boulevard. 7012 Hollywood Boulevard. And go say hello to William Haynes for us.
Mm. Yeah, good on you, William Haynes.
Ask the hooker who's plying her trade on top of the star to move out of the line. And...
That's such a sweet story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's cute. I want to have a lavender marriage now, though.
Do you?
I do. I'm really into it.
Yeah. There must... Like, in a way, it's actually... quite a good arrangement because you get to have all the comforts of domesticity and someone to ring up and just go, oh, can you go home? I've left the iron on or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, they're having to put up all the tedious shit of being in an actual relationship. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's good. It's like having a really good flatmate.
But yeah, it'd be like being in an open relationship with someone that you never had to have sex with, so you never had to have that kind of guilty, oh, God.
Yeah.
Are we doing it? Is it your birthday?
Yeah.
I knew I hated Christmas for a reason.
But, you know, Scarlett Johansson's not jumping on your back for it. You're just like, yeah, all right, Scarlett, I'm just going to go to the peel now. Bye.
I
think it's quite a natty arrangement.
Yeah. You'd need to have a few kind of if there's a sock on the doorknob, don't come in.
Surely you have separate rooms in your palatial Hollywood mansion.
Yeah.
Probably have your own wing.
Yeah.
Full of boys.
Your own harem.
Or your own hairdressing salon.
Yes.
And why has this only come to light, the George Berenger? Why has that only come to light recently?
Oh, that's really interesting. There was an article appeared in The Age about 2 months ago, and this woman was a Melbourne woman cleaning out the wardrobe in their house, found a beautiful top hat and cane, said to her husband, where does this come from? And said, oh, it's a relative. And she started digging and then found this guy.
Wow.
And he lived until the 1970s. Didn't end well. Never really sort of got his career back, and had to sell his enormous house in Laguna Beach. And,
Of course.
And ended up living by himself in this little thing, and took him a few days to find the body when he passed away.
That's been happening a lot in Hollywood of late. Like old film stars just 2 weeks of not talking to anyone and then
they're gone.
There was some woman who wasn't found for an entire year.
It's becoming increasingly common because as people, like as the nuclear family sort of disintegrates and people are a bit more isolated, they just old people just die and they don't have networks around them.
But also like Hollywood stars, when they kind of go, oh, you know, I'm done with Hollywood. Yeah. I'm not moving, but I'm done. I'm going to stay here in my mansion in Beverly Hills. And then I just don't see, and, you know, everything gets ordered in. And they have people do things for them. And they go all weird and grey gardens. And
and it's usually Pizza Hut that raise the alarm.
Yeah.
He hasn't rung.
Yeah.
Hey, just one little thing that I just remember about the Haynes case is that William and Jimmy had a lovely marriage, but also in the late 30s, they're actually a victim of one of the few Ku Klux Klan attacks in Beverly Hills.
Oh.
There was actually a Beverly Hills version of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, that they ran Hollywood, didn't they?
Yeah. But they burst into these guys' house, pulled them out, and, you know, really biffed them over. And they apparently knew who they were, and everyone, all their big movie stars, and this is, you know, all that they all knew, all these big movie stars, and they were all trying to say, look, you should prosecute these guys, you should prosecute these guys.
Mm.
But these guys are saying, well, no.
We can't.
Well, you know, this is the late 30s.
Yeah.
And also, it was probably a business decision.
Yeah.
If I prosecute these people and it's a massive scandal, we'll never work in this town again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's been told to us once. It's not going to be told to us again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. But awful. The Hollywood Ku Klux Klan.
So, like, actual big movie stars with hoods on.
Yeah.
Going around to beat up poofters.
See, that would be an interesting... That's a Hollywood movie you never see.
Yes.
You know?
I want to know who was under the hood.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg, take the hood off. We know it's you.
He's batshit crazy, that Mark Wahlberg.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Or Grand Wizard.
Grand Wizard Gibson.
Gibson.
Well, thank you so much, Mother Horan, for educating us.
Oh, pleasure.
Thank you.
Putting thoughts in our heads.
Where there were none, yes.
And now we have to do the bottom. That's the bit at the end.
Yeah.
Well, normally I call it a tail, but I'm worried about Wag coming back.
Yeah. I'd much rather a double entendre than fucking Teletubbies over here.
And the pink wiggle.
Yeah.
Are you all right there, love?
I would be an awesome children's entertainer.
Do you know who would be good at that, entertaining children?
Who?
Grunty.
Oh, yes.
Fucking laugh it up, kids. This is good shit.
Captain...
What's your name? Timmy? Where are you from? Doesn't fucking matter. It's a shithole anyway.
Thanks, Uncle McFuckering.
Shut the fuck up. I don't come down to the kindergarten and slap the sailor's cocks out of your mouth. I don't do my fucking job. Right. Sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up. We're going to show you a little documentary called The Goonies. If you need me, I'll be falling asleep under this table with a bottle of tequila stitched to my fucking mouth. None of you kids kill each other or shit yourselves. By the way, yo, no, not you, that one. Yep, you're a fucking adopted. By me!
We'll be back next time. Oh, God.
Fucking bullshit ass left a bag of tuna on my fucking desk.
Oh.
The fuck is this?
As you can probably hear, it's time for our
Jesus
segment.
Christ, do I look like a fucking short-haired Persian? Who left fucking tuna on my desk?
It's the Grunt Report with Grunty McFuckery.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Your microphone's on now, Grunty.
I'll tell you when my fucking microphone's on, Jesus. Fucking piece of shit. Right, my microphone's on, everybody, so shut the fuck up. You're the most unprofessional bunch of amateurs I've ever worked with. Is the fucking tape running?
Yeah, it's running. It's on. Everything.
Because I can't see anything fucking moving. No,
it's all digital now. Digital. It's, yeah,
it goes straight into it.
I'll tell you what's fucking digital, right? Turn the. Can I just call for a moment's peace of shut the fuck up?
Yes, sorry.
Sorry.
I've got some golden fucking wood. You people do not appreciate.
We do appreciate you.
Well, I don't see the fucking evidence. You know what I see? I see two fucking windbags fucking staring the fucking Buddha of wisdom in the fuck. Fucking you two pieces of shit. You would meet Stephen Hawking and say, nice wheels.
He does have nice wheels.
Fucking yeah, dumber. You wouldn't even ask him anything about his work in Roadhouse.
What?
I'm thinking of the wrong person. Sorry.
Is that Patrick Swayze?
I'll tell you who's Patrick Swayze. What the fuck is this? Let's tell Grunty down his up week. For fuck's sake. I have known more facts than you've had dinners.
He hasn't had many dinners.
No, I don't. Well, maybe you should.
All right. Rolling.
Rolling.
And Geronimo.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, neither of which I've encountered for about 25 years now, is with no small sense of pride and a persistent Stop it! Ladies and gentlemen, neither of which I've encountered for about 25 years now, it is with no small sense of pride and a persistent allergenic swelling of the anus. So sorry. I think this is really funny. This is really funny. This is going to take a while. Talk profit to me.